The family of a local teenager says she never would have left home without calling.
Just praying for the best. I want my daughter home, man. And if she can't come home, I just want to know where she's at.
These posters around the towns of Livermore and Jay beg anyone with information to come forward. Posters that Richard puts up every spring, never losing hope.
Tell me what happened to my daughter. Just look me in the eyes so I can see her.
An arrest in a nearly four-decade-old cold case. Thanks to cutting-edge DNA technology, the arrest happening exactly 39 years to the day.
When Parabon Nanolabs used that sample to create 3D models of the suspected killer's face.
It's heartbreaking. We miss her, and we're going to find her. We're going to keep looking until we do.
It's like a never-ending nightmare. It doesn't end. It keeps returning and coming back.
And we're live. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in, watching us live, and thank you, everyone, who's watching this as a recording.
Yes, thank you. Tonight we're joined by Representative David Boyer from District 87, and every time I say District 87, I think of the Hunger Games. and Jared Pinkham, co-founder of Missing It in Me. So welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So David, if you wouldn't mind, just I put in the show notes as far as what the bill is that you guys are presenting to Congress, and if you could kind of tell us how you got involved with it, and is there something that happened in your background that made you want to champion this?
Sure. I got involved because Jared is a constituent here in District 87, which is Poland and Mechanic Falls, and he talked to me about his nonprofit and Missing in Maine and how it's an issue in Maine. And, you know, I didn't realize that we had such a high per capita of missing people here in the state. So, it made sense since we're a very rural state. We tried to come up with ideas about how we can help find people or, you know, begin to tackle some of these issues, apply government to some of the issues that Jared was trying to, you know, fund and privately, you know, look for these folks and work with government. But what we kind of came up with is we realized, or, you know, Jared at least alerted me to the fact that we had a couple dozen unidentified remains in the state's possession going back to the 70s, I believe. And so the idea was like, geez, we have all these missing people right now. We have some folks that are unidentified here in state possession. There has to be some crossover here, and maybe we can bring some closure to people, to the families that are missing folks, and also maybe save some tax dollars, you know, not looking for folks that are simply just unidentified as well. So that's kind of where the bill idea came together. And he also educated me about reverse genealogy DNA testing, basically working backwards, looking at DNA to find the relatives of the missing person. So the state used that here in Maine for some criminal, cases to find, solve murders and whatnot. But our state also used it to identify folks, but they didn't have enough in their budget. When they did use it, I think about one in three times it was successful when they tested. So, and this is something that costs like $5,000, $8,000. So, you know, we have a fiscal note of $100,000 on this bill to just fund it and really like save some resources and bring some closure to families. So I can leave it there, or Jared can jump in, or however you want to go.
And first of all, I want to thank you for actually listening to your constituents. Like,
yes, that's absolutely. A big thing. So,
it's compelling.
And then Jared, welcome aboard here. You are muted, Jared.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, you're here. So Jared, if you want to kind of mind introducing yourself and your role with all this.
Yeah. So I'll get into the very beginning of kind of how this came about for me up here in Maine. I grew up in the Livermore Falls and Jay area, where Kimberly Morrow went missing. Had a pretty profound impact on my life growing up, watching her father, you know, put up signs here, there, and everywhere looking for her. So as I became a young man, I started to get involved and got to know the family, became friendly with them, and decided, you know, how can I help? So I collaborated with family, collaborated with state police, did personal investigation type things, kept her story, helped keep her story alive. One of many stewards of her social network online. You know, just kind of, it organically grew from there, you know, and I've been searching for Kim now since about 2013 or so. And, you know, we wanted to, I guess, make a bigger impact here in the state. And like Dave said, there's a, you know, major correlation of missing people and unidentified here. So we decided to open up a nonprofit, me and a couple other, you know, partners, search partners, people we've met along the way, the Morrow family, Karen, Diane, and Richard Morrow are all part of the nonprofit. And, you know, it's to really go ahead and do everything that we can and collaborate with everybody that we can to bring closure to all these families across the state, you know, and across New England. And, you know, how we plan on doing that is by, you know, doing fundraising, by getting specialized equipment, you know, helping some of these families, maybe even, you know, with money if they need help, you know, making flyers or posters, or, you know, want to do a search and need some, you know, rope or some grid flags and all those types of things. Those cost money. And, you know, we rely on the community. There's GoFundMes everywhere, and, you know, want to help an organized effort to that aspect of things. So, you know, that's kind of, it's kind of a double-edged sword there. And then there's the forensic genealogy side of it, you know, us partnering with companies like Othram down in Texas, who have been solving cases across the country with forensic genealogy, investigative genetic genealogy. And that's the bill that we're bringing forward with, you know, Mr. Boyer here. We're looking to, you know, solve a lot of these, not solve, we just want to bring peace to these families, closure to these families, you know, like we want to identify these people who are, have been sitting in the coffers of the coroner's office since, you know, the 70s. And I think we have an obligation, and I'm so happy that, you know, Dave Boyer thinks we have an obligation as a government as well to figure this out. So, you know, it sets a precedent across the country. You know, believe it or not, we're on the cusp up here in Maine with this type of stuff. And, you know, it's thanks to, you know, Dave and us, you know, coming forward in situations like this, and, you know, being available on the edge like this to let people know that, you know, this technology is out here. It's not a compassion issue within the coroner's office, in my opinion, and we can get into that. But, you know, I think we're on the right track.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So if you guys wouldn't mind discussing the bill completely. So you're looking for how much funding?
So the initial fiscal note is about $100,000. That simply means that's, you know, the cost to do this, that the state estimates based on the number of folks. And that number is dynamic. So that's kind of what they estimated to kind of clear the rolls. And then I think it's like 5 or 10,000 a year going forward after that. So, I mean, this is like, you know, couch change for Augusta and for Maine. You know, we have a $10 billion budget. Not to say there's not a lot of needs and folks aren't, you know, fighting for funding everywhere, but
it's pretty significant thing though, right? Like, If you can put forward $100,000 towards closure for some families of missing people, that seems like a pretty obvious choice.
It is, and that's why I had a lot of leadership on both parties co-sponsor it. We recently had our first kind of hurdle in the committee process with the vote in the Health and Human Services Committee. And we had some families here that joined us that either had missing or unsolved, you know, with their family members and Jared, of course. And we had a unanimous vote in support of it. You know, not a lot of things get, you know, unanimous support. But it's compelling, and it, you know, it's nothing that I did. You just kind of, you know, explain the situation and people get it. So I appreciate Jared, you know, bringing it to me and I'm glad we're getting it through. It's actually on the calendar for tomorrow in the House of Representatives. But because, we got unanimous support on it. Generally, those things go under the hammer, is what they called, when the speaker hits the gavel, unless someone for some reason, you know, makes an objection or pulls it, you know, it's smooth sailing from here. So I think, you know, the plan is I am going to hold it and, you know, say a couple words on the House floor tomorrow, just explaining it and thanking folks and bringing some awareness just to the issue, and should go under the hammer over to the Senate and, you know, the governor. And I think then any bills that cost money, they end up on the appropriations table. And that's historically where lots of bills go to die, because you can pass all the bills you want, but if you don't fund them, then it doesn't matter. So, Jared and I are going to make the case to those appropriation members, on there and try to get some constituents and folks to tell their story and reach out and explain why it's worth the money. It's a good ROI and could even save the state some money. So that's the path going forward. I think we're optimistic at this point and excited to bring some awareness to the issue and start the testing and get this going.
Yeah. And let them know I'm willing to deal with 4 or 5 more potholes, if that means that these
absolutely. Yeah.
Like, because we're talking about a couple dozen, so 20 to 27, I think, right? Unknown.
Yeah, remains. The coroner's office is saying 20. Namus says 27, I believe. So we'll get the discrepancy figured out.
Even a price, you said it was about $5,000 a person, right? To have the remains identified. Like, That number, the price of that, to me, is irrelevant anyways, because I think we should all be willing to pitch in whatever. If we could potentially get an answer for something, I think absolutely we should put forward to that. And especially the families themselves, they would be over the moon to have, you know, some closure on their family members.
Absolutely. And I think if, you know, for some reason this, you know, goes sideways or was going to go sideways, I think that's probably something Jared would be pushing next, is private funding of this and a friggin' donation to the state of Maine. Here you go. What else do you want? I don't think we're going to have to go that far so that we can, you know, Jared can raise that money on radar and drones and whatnot. I told you.
Yeah. All right. Who had the 13 minute and 57 second mark?
Well, it's smart, you know, it saves the taxpayer money so we can fund it, that we're That's not going to leave lights on, so I appreciate that. Even
if I just gotta do a little dance every now and then.
I know the timestamp.
And you know, like, you know, to that point about, you know, doing this privately, you know, I've heard stories of, I'm not going to get into names, but heard stories within, you know, people within the state police that are trying to do this privately on their own time and trying to write their, you know, trying to write grants to other, you know, nonprofits and fund some of this forensic genealogy stuff, and it's getting turned down, you know, so they don't have the budget for this stuff either. So, you know, there's a big black hole that, you know, we need to figure out when it comes to these unidentifieds.
And, I was gonna ask you, how many states are currently doing this? Would we be like one of the first states to do this?
We're one of the first. I talked to Dave Middleman over at Othram just the other day, and I guess Florida is really on the cusp of all this as well. And they are writing some really nice you know, legislation right now in regards to this and, you know, formulating their plan. And, you know, I think a couple of others are on their way, but, you know, Florida is the one that comes to mind for me anyway, in regards to something that we're doing. Also, Autham was, you know, pretty impressed with how we have it framed up here at the 45 days. You know, the bill, inside the bill, it says within 45 days, they have to do this forensic genetic genealogy on these unidentified people. And that's brilliant. It's beautiful because it forces them to take the more cost effective option. You know, instead of doing all these antiquated options first and then doing this at the end, it's kind of forcing them into the, you know, a new way of thinking and a more cost effective way of doing things.
So just so everyone listening understands, the initial, I think 100,000 would be to take care of the 20 or so that are current. And then we'd kind of move them off the books. Right. And then going forward, I think it's 15,000 a year you'd like to set aside for each time we come across the unidentified body, 45 days, within 45 days, medical examiner has to send that out. So within 3 or 4 months, we'd know who these people are, and families would have closure much sooner than,
you know, like people aren't waiting decades.
Yeah. 40, I think 48 years for Kim.
Yeah. You know, like when we talked to the coroner's office, when I was trying to get all of this figured out, but they're like, you know, it's a budgetary constraint for us. You know, if we're in budget at the end of the year or the end of the quarter, and we have $6,000, $7,000 to put towards this, you know, testing, we'll do it, you know, but that's great. I'm glad right, you're doing it and you're aware of it, but
it's at the end of the year after, like, you get the pennies out of the pocket at the end of all of it. And I was going to ask that, like, how much funding is there currently for identifying any sort of remains? And, you know, that answers that essentially there's none. There's nothing that's actually set aside for this.
No budgetary line, you know, set up for something like this. No.
Right. And absolutely there should be. Like, it kind of blows my mind that today that this is going forward, like it hasn't happened before, you know, like that I'm baffled that it's taken this long for something like this to kind of come through. Jeff, it seems like a nonsense. What's that?
Why didn't you think of this, Jeff?
Yeah.
It's amazing what you guys are doing. No, Terry says, real. Thank you both for finally bringing awareness to the public. I certainly would donate.
Nice. And
Kara also said, I love this idea. They deserve closure. Kelly said she would also donate.
All right, missinginmaine.org, right?
Yeah, we got it. You got it. Missinginmaine.org. We got it set up right now. We actually have, you know, some nice clothes on there that you can purchase, and all proceeds go to what we're doing.
Pull that up.
Yeah, one of the biggest things we have going right now here, I get a little bit of a story, but here we go. You know, a couple of years ago, when we were kind of formulating this whole idea, you know, we were looking for Kim in the woods, and we're like, you know, we really wish we had specialized equipment, and we wish we had ground penetrating radar. We wish we had side view sonar, but this stuff costs thousands of dollars. And, you know, I know there's, you know, nonprofits that are doing it, but, you know, we don't have thousands of dollars. And, you know, I'm hoping we can, with the community's help, we can start raising some money to, you know, get some of this equipment so that we can help. You know, I want to open source this to the state police if need be. I want to open source this to, you know, the families, really, you know, especially ground penetrating radar. That's a big one. Like, there's not a lot of ground penetrating radars in the state of Maine, and there's kind of a demand for it. So if we can open source that, and there's a particular family that, you know, that has a missing loved one, and they want to do an organized search, and they want to use more than metal detectors, you know, we're going to let them use this. We're going to train them on it. I don't necessarily have to be there, you know, but I would definitely trust, like, Travis or Jeff, you know, to be on site with something like this, or other people I've met in the community and families I've met in the community to, you know, to share in this equipment and, you know, to help them give peace of mind. You know, I'm not looking to, you know, wipe my hands of a particular area when, you know, and clear it. You know, I'm not clearing anything. We haven't cleared anything in, you know, 11, 12 years in Kim's case. We just keep looking, and, you know, that's, That's what families want to do. They want to keep looking. And I think sometimes, you know, a lot of these families across the state feel like government's giving up on them a little bit. And I'm hoping we can turn that around and, you know, be on the same page and, you know, get this thing going, because we're not going anywhere. You know, we're going to help these families, you know, no matter what anybody says, we're going to get this money. We're going to get this crown penetrated.
No, you guys are doing awesome.
You know, we're going to do it. So one way or another. And I reached out to a company, Easy Radar USA. And I told them the story of Kim. I told them the story, how we have been looking for a long period of time and how we're raising money. And I really liked his product. He makes a ground penetrating radar. He's done a bunch of consulting for, you know, high tech companies. And I reached out to him in emails like, you know, I love your product. I'd love to, you know, purchase one. Here's a situation up here in Maine. And, you know, maybe out of synchronicity. But he's like, you know, I like your story. You know, I'm willing to sell you one of these at cost to get you up there. He's like, you know, the reason I made this ground penetrating radar is because my sister went missing over 20 years ago and I had the ability to help in this way. And this is, you know, one of the reasons I made it. And, you know, it just kind of hit home for everybody. And so, you know, here we are, you know, raising money for ground penetrating radar. And, you know, we're going to get this and allow people to use it. You know, we met thanks to Dave, I met some of these families up at Augusta. He invited them all up there, reached out to them, and got us all coordinated. And, you know, I was able to, it was the same story. I was able to sit down with them, and it's the same story with all the families. They want to search, you know, they want to search this particular mountain. They want to search this particular body of water. They want to search these old wells. They want to, you know, check out this, you know, this particular plot of land or this island. And, you know, we just need to help them coordinate and bring the right equipment with us and, you know, just go for it and start finding these people.
That was sort of one of the goals that me and Travis had with this, is if we, you know, if we managed to make some money doing this, that we could put it forward to the families or getting equipment and, you know, getting training for the actual search and rescue sort of stuff. Like, and like that's awesome that, you know, there's plenty of other people that are looking to do the same. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I don't know what it looks like right now. You know, this needs to be some sort of, you know, movement a little bit. Like, Maine is a big state, you know, and we can have a charter in Jay. We can have, you know, a charter somewhere else up in Augusta and, you know, different areas. As long as we're, you know, doing the same things and looking for people and organized, I think, you know, we have an opportunity to, you know, make a big difference up here.
Kara says, Lucha Blander comes to mind in needing these resources. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Totally agree. 100%. And,
Christian made a comment earlier saying law enforcement doesn't care or are not paid enough to care. And I think it's more of the not paid enough side of things, because, you know, the budget is very tight. There was not even the them. Right. Even, and we've mentioned this a few times, but a few years ago, they had set aside some money for the cold case department within the state of Maine. And it was just two detectives that were already currently full time. And in their spare time, they were allowed to work on the cold cases.
And Jared actually helped get that funding, right? You were involved with that as well.
No, not really. I wasn't, you know, I was,
you were, I was, come on.
I listened
to you talk about it.
Yeah, no, I did. I was friends with Mr. Morrow, but I wasn't really organized or anything at the time. I was just, you know, there for support, but no, I appreciate it.
But the fact that there was, I mean, it's nice that something was done about it, but the fact that, like, that's all that the state was sort of willing to concede to it, right, was just two people who already had normal full-time jobs, and then it was a spare time job to try and solve the cold cases.
Yeah, it's too bad they couldn't hire on, like, retired detectives or whatever, and I've seen shows where they do that, where retired detectives need something to do, they're obviously intelligent. They know what to look for, and then they kind of create these groups and they help solve these cases.
I know. It's
fun. I do have a question for David. David, were you aware of, like, I think you had mentioned that you weren't aware of, like, how many unsolved or unidentified people were in Maine, but were you ever someone that watched true crime? Were you involved with this side of the internet or life?
Oh, you know, like true crime just as much as anybody else, you know, from Baltimore. So listen to Serial and, you know, stuff like that, and crime movies and whatnot. So it's always fascinated me, and everyone, you know, thinks, you know, they can play cop because they watch some Law and Order and whatnot. And so that's fun too. But I mean, this discussion about the cold case unit, I know that the families, some of the families want to try to, you know, set up their own office with some, you know, dedicated folks. You know, I'm not read in all the way on the issue, but again, it seems like a reasonable request. And if it's like you guys were discussing, then it's going to be hard to crack cases in that manner. No fault of the fellows there. But, you know, we all have lives outside of work, and to be expected to do this on their spare time, you know, it just doesn't make sense. So
you're saying you're on board with, like, having dedicated detectives on the cold case squad?
If that's something that needs to be said, then yes. And I hope my colleagues could utter those words too. And so, you know, I'm down to you know, kind of look at that next and see what else we can do on the legislative side to move the ball forward. And I don't know, Jared, is correct me if I'm wrong, but does state police have a ground penetrating radar?
Don't they write it? From what I understand, they rely on other outside consultants for ground penetrating radar. And, from what I understand, talking to, you know, Mr. Morrow and others, you know, sometimes they rely on the University of Maine at Orono for ground penetrating radar. When it happens, it happens. But I can tell you, we've waited for ground penetrating radar, and then, you know, someone's got promoted or left the squad, you know, and then you have to go and, you know, finagle that all over again. So, you know, the natural attrition within, you know, the state police as well doesn't help a lot of these cold cases. So, you know, getting, you know, some sort of cold case squad is brilliant. And they want to do it again. I think it's just a budgetary issue for them. They want to do it. You know, they want to have a northern guy dedicated to cold case, a central guy in Maine, and a southern guy, and then report to, you know, somebody else. Like, so the, you know, we just, it's got to be figured out, and we got to have the right people in place. And I think that's what we're getting to here in the state of Maine now. So
I mean, I don't need an exact number, but how close are you guys getting to securing your own ground penetrating radar through Missing and Me?
Well, so pretty close. We, you know, talking to Othram, you know, we have to raise probably $4,500 to get, you know, this particular one, because the guy's going to sell it to us at cost. I think this unit right here is like a $6,000 unit. So, you know, I think Othram and a couple other companies that, you know, don't want me to mention their names are going to, you know, donate some money to this. But this is kind of like something we started in 2024. You know, we had raised a little bit of money organically to start the nonprofit, because that's something we wanted to do. And, you know, so we're kind of hitting the ground running again with this particular, you know, this particular fundraiser. But, you know, if we can get a couple thousand dollars out of in the next 2 months, you know, we're looking to purchase this, you know, for some good searches this summer. And
no reason to stop there either, right? Like, what's better than one ground penetrating radar than two?
Yeah. And you know, if he's willing to work with us, he wants to give us two. Absolutely. Let's do it. But, you know, we also want other things, magnetometers, You know, ground penetrating radar is good for, you know, ground level to maybe 6 to 8 feet. You get a magnetometer in a field because maybe an excavator was used on a crime scene or something like that, and it's down a lot deeper. You're going to need a magnetometer for something like that. So, you know, getting down and really getting the specialized equipment that the state needs to solve some of these, you know, because, you know, it was kind of the Wild West a little bit up here in Maine in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, there was a lot of crime and, you know, there was a lot of people turning their backs to certain things. And, you know, we have to right a lot of these wrongs, I think. And I think we have the technology now. So let's get it up here. This is nothing new. Some of this stuff is nothing new. Like you look at a company, there's a group of people out in Colorado, NecroSearch. And it's just what you said, Travis. I mean, it's a group of doctors and forensic anthropologists and botanists and, you know, all these different scientists, retired officers that have come together to start solving these crimes. And I don't know. I'm not the nonprofit for that. You know, I really don't think I am. I think maybe, you know, maybe something it'll turn into that eventually. But, you know, I'd love to surround myself with retired police officers and forensic anthropologists and botanists and all these people who really want to make a difference and get them, you know, in a field somewhere searching. Like we need that professionalism up here. So it's going to come from
absolutely.
Somewhere.
So Jeff and I both have drones, and I'm actually looking at like underwater drones too for some of these searches. So like one of the theories is Luja Blanger's in Crystal Lake. So yeah, maybe go to Crystal Lake and help Linda look for her husband.
Yeah. I'd love to be part of that. You let me know.
Absolutely.
Got it. Maybe someday I'll get my diving certificate. I don't know. Kind of a whim.
I'm petrified of the deep water. I can never do it.
I've thought about doing it, but I'm getting older. That's probably a young man's game.
No, thanks. So, you know, just to kind of bring light to everything right now, you know, you've got on name is 146 people missing in Maine, 28 unidentified on nameless. That's what it says. New Hampshire, 57 missing, 7 unidentified. Vermont, 55 missing, 7 unidentified. Massachusetts, 198 missing, 199 unidentified. Connecticut, what? Yeah.
That's like the same number.
Well, I mean, people are bringing...
And then you look at the population of Maine, like, and we don't even compare, but our numbers of missing is right up there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I asked you earlier about like how many other states are doing this, because if we get the ball rolling and everyone else is doing it, we're going to bring their people home and hopefully they can help us bring our people home. Right.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to get, you know, Dave Boyer's help on this and his advice, because he's been all over the place. You know, I really want to make this some sort of coalition here in New England. I want to reach out to the, you know, the Dave Boyers of New Hampshire and Vermont, Connecticut, and, you know, talk to them down there, because we are going to bring people home. I hate to say it, but people brought a lot of bodies to Maine, and, you know, most of them or some of them aren't probably from here. So we're going to bring closure to some of our New England states and even, you know, beyond, and maybe even Canada and vice versa. So we might as well just all work together and get this done.
And you talked about the 70s, a lot of hitchhiking in the 70s. Truck drivers were constantly picking young ladies up or young men or whatever and taking them out of state. And so I think a lot of Maine people are, like you said, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, a lot of their people are up here.
Yeah. You know, back to Kim. There's one story about Kim, you know, where possibly one of the prime suspects went to New York the very next morning. Well, that opens up a really large area of where Kim could possibly be if you follow that particular theory. So, you know, it's all over the place. And I think once we find, you know, they've obviously, once they found these identified people, they have the coordinates of where they are. And I think the location of where they find these unidentified people and it could, you know, really lead to who this possibly is as a suspect as well.
Right. So. Especially if they're, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Patricia says, yes, a lot of people don't know about this technology. If so, they would definitely donate. She also said that she would donate. Crystal says, I was just thinking about the diving because I've watched that online to go that go and find vehicles. Yeah, the Adventures with Purpose guys, they do great work. But they need a place to go. So you need to have an idea of where you think, you know, somebody might be.
Yeah.
And Jared was talking before we started the podcast about you, David, saying that you were really ambitious. So that we went down to watch you speak and that you'd give a nice long speech, but as soon as you'd finished, you'd packed up your bag and you were out of there because you had other stuff to do as well. So it's good to see that, you know, there's someone that actually cares that's representing the state, you know, about issues like this. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
I'll take you the ambitious politician as a compliment. I think that's what you were saying.
Yeah, yes, yes. Not for yourself, ambitious. Yes.
No, you want to fight. Like,
Yes. I always like the underdog. Everyone feels like the underdog. I feel like the underdog a lot of times here and before being a politician and a representative. And you know, these families are the underdogs, so it's I'm proud to fight for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely a worthy cause for sure. And we're happy to have you on our side.
This is your first term, right?
Yes, sir. I've been involved in politics here in Maine. It's about 2010, 2011. Got here on the Ron Paul presidential campaign. So I'm kind of a libertarian type. And we kicked butt for him here in Maine. And I stuck around from Maryland originally. And as I mentioned, and then worked on the marijuana campaign to make it legal here in Maine in 2016. And big part of my work up here now is trying to make the market friendly for small businesses and not, you know, try to keep the industry for Mainers and locals as much as possible.
Gotta do the dance.
Big cannabis comes and pulls the plug and turns the lights out. That's kind of my background and moved to Poland a couple years ago, and it's a great community and a great area, and decided to get involved in a more formal way and not behind the scenes, you know, running things. And it's been fun. It's been fun. I don't know if that's the best word. It's one of the things that's been fun, but working as a Republican, we don't have any, you know, the House, the Senate, the governor, it's all Democrats. So I'm trying to see the ideas that can win, you know, for both sides. And so issues like this and cannabis reform and some good government bills. And I think this is a good government bill. So I'm including it in my slate of good government bills, because I think awesome. I don't think government should do much, but I think this is one of the, you know, bare minimums, you know, the least, you know, that can be done in a society to bring closure to folks.
Absolutely. Well said too, David.
Thank you.
What is this? Oh, sorry.
Oh, Travis, we don't have our music going. What is wrong
with my goodness. Oh my gosh. We're 38 minutes into it. No music. Barbara. Yes. We interviewed your daughter, and her granddaughter's Miss Tennessee. Her name is Layla. God, I missed that.
What kind of music?
Something happened. What kind do you want? You want like a disco? Do you want to go with the light show you got going on there?
No, something heavy.
I don't know what one you usually put on, Travis.
Terry said, "What a great podcast. So glad finally for the families. Have a great night, everyone." It's the night driving one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's absolutely, like, it's, again, surprising that it's taken this long. That I genuinely thought something like this was already kind of in the books, you know, but the fact that it's all been, like, spare change is mind-boggling, but it's awesome. We got Jared and David on the case to work on stuff like this.
Patricia said, "Thank you, Dave, for helping. My nephew is missing in Washburn recently." Her nephew is Eric Foote. He disappeared January 30th, right at the end of January this year. up in Washburn, and actually an officer was the last person to be seen with him. So that's kind of odd. The officer then quit his job, hired a lawyer, and who knows what's going on with that.
Holy moly.
Oh, sad.
Hmm. Thank you, Patricia, for joining us. Whoops, sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's what happens when we're both touching buttons.
We can't be trusted. Oh, can't find my way home.
Can't find my way home. That's not good. That's probably something for Jared, though.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to tell me something. That's funny.
So, yeah, David, again, thank you for, you know, helping Jared, helping the state of Maine, helping the families of the missing and the unsolved, you know, being a voice. It's good to see someone like you in there, having the courage to speak what needs to be spoken. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thanks for the stuff that you guys do and highlighting these cases and keeping the hope alive and working on it and Jared, and you know, I'm hoping that we can, you know, bring more awareness to these different issues with this bill. And you know, I talked to Jared about some, you know, earned media opportunities to, you know, really write an op-ed or, you know, have a press conference to talk about the bill and talk about the nonprofit, and you know, the more people that know about it, the more people that will donate, and even just the more people to know is situational awareness, right? So, but yeah, definitely, if you're listening now, go to the website missingandmaine.org. You can donate right there for the ground penetrating radar, $50, $100, $200, $5. You know, they generously offered this at cost because he understood it about ground penetrating radar. So I like the Hope shirt. I like the blanket. They're pretty
cool. I like the sweatshirt here. I think I'm gonna order myself one.
Sweatshirt. It's a nice hoodie.
Yeah.
It actually.
So if people wanted to just to get to the bill for a second. So you said that there's hopefully not really too many obstacles going forward. But what can people do if they want to try to help? If it seems like it might get a little mired, what could people do to try and help with this?
I don't want to jinx us or anything, but it looks promising because of the bipartisan unanimous support in committee. Somebody would pretty much have to be trying to like just get at me for some other, you know, stuff I did. And so hopefully this, you know, it doesn't become in the crossfire. I don't, you know, look at it. We got the speaker on there, the Senate president co-sponsoring it. So that always helps. Speaker Ross, President Jackson, Chairwoman Meyer of the committee there, Javner, Representative Javner, and then got some members of appropriations on the committee, Representative Collings, Gatine, and Matlack, and Millett are all on the appropriations committee. So that also helps, you know, our prospects. But to your question, what they could do, and sure, they should do it. It can't hurt, and everyone should have a dialogue with their representative and senator is just, you know, look up who's my representative in Maine. You know, you put your address in there, your zip code. And you have your state representative, which I'm a state representative in the state house, in the House of Representatives. Then you have your state senator, who's in the Senate, and there's less of them. And, the bill goes to both bodies, and then the governor has to sign it or just, you know, she can let it go into law without her signature as well. But yeah, you should, email or a phone call, your state rep and your state senator, both of them, because you have one of each, and just say, you know, support LD. What is it? 838.
It is
838.
A lot of numbers these days. LD 838, Rep. Boyer's bill to, you know, fund the unidentified remains so we can test them. And that's it. It doesn't have to be, you know, much. You know, another, you can give your own reason why or how you're connected to the issue, especially if you're listening right now. You probably have maybe a connection to this topic, and that always helps. So yeah, by all means, especially if it turns out any of those, you know, representatives or senators are on the appropriations table. You know, those are the, you know, I'm going to be working with Jared to try to do some strategic outreach to people that live in those districts of those members. And that always helps. But I think we'll be able to get it funded either way. But no, I don't want to take anything for granted. And this is something that's really important. So, yes, thank you for asking. Email or phone call your rep and senator in support of LD 838.
And then, David, if you can just quickly say your home phone number so we can all call you later.
Honestly, most of my colleagues put their home phone or their cell phone when you're on their state.
Really?
Form. Oh, wow.
You know, you can tell if it's the office number or not, but we're pretty accessible, you know, as far as, you know, bodies of, you know, politicians go. You have pretty good outreach if you pick up the phone, email, or come up to Augusta, or shoot us a Facebook message. So that's a cool thing. It's a cool thing not being a rep and having that access. And it's a cool thing now being, you know, so connected to folks like Jared that, you know, we can, good ideas can get pushed through and pass. And that's the good part about politics, I guess.
Yeah, this is definitely a out of the ordinary for what we would normally cover, but it's definitely still right in line with the stuff, because it's good to see, you know, like, hey, there's not only that there's something going through, but legally, but there's also people in the part of the process that really give a damn as well. So, like, this is definitely an important thing that has to happen, but it's equally important. There's people working on this sort of stuff to help these families.
Yeah, no, I want to say thank you to you guys. I mean, you guys have been here a while now doing this and giving us the platform to talk about the bill and, you know, bring exposure to something that, you know, obviously fits into what you guys are doing, but outside the ordinary a little bit. I really appreciate that. You know, you guys kind of gave us a platform on a whim. So,
oh yeah, no, yeah. Anytime something like this, if like, and if something just comes through, absolutely let us know, and we'll have you on as soon as we can. Like, this is really good stuff, and I will be making sure to send a lovely message to my representative as soon as I can. as soon as I find out who they are. Very soon.
Guys, it's going to the House tomorrow, which again should be fine, but yeah, definitely it'll be the Senate next week. So you have, you know, a couple days to, and sometimes bills go and die in the Senate. So we don't want that to happen. I don't think it'll happen, but you know, it can't hurt to send a note.
Yeah, make it important, right? So, and David, you can stay if you want, but I did want to talk to Jared about Kim Rowe's case because you are so heavily involved with that. Is there any updates with Kim's case at all?
Kind of. I mean, we're always looking for Kimberly. We've done a lot of searches for Kim in the Canton, Maine area. In Livermore, Maine, and some other areas. But, you know, we kind of keep it close to cuff because it's still, you know, an open case. You know, the police are still actively looking for Kim. I can tell you there's, you know, a couple leads, new leads that we've noticed in the last couple months that we've given to the state police. That, you know, they should be working on. We hope they're working on, you know, like, I don't know, I don't have the authority to, you know, call the state police and be like, hey, did you follow up with that lead that we gave you, you know, and stuff like that. So it gets tough sometimes.
How about, but, David? You know, can he follow up with them?
But, you know, we do what we can. We do what we can to, you know, give them the leads, and that's all you can do. And, you know, it's a tough part about it because it's just like searching sometimes. Like, you're out searching a particular area for Kim or you know, Michelle Jukaitis or somebody else involved in, you know, my region. And, you know, you leave empty-handed at the end of the day after, you know, sweating with a metal detector and, you know, searching. You know, that up and downs of it are tough. So, you know, that's,
and it's tough for like you and I, like what Dick's going through.
I know.
Imagine, like,
I know. Yeah.
For the family.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I was getting to. Like, you know, I see Mr. Morrow and them, you know, still never giving up. We'll never give up. We'll never give up hope. You know, we still think about it all the time. But, you know, everybody's getting older, including you and I. And it's getting tougher on everybody to get out there and search. And, you know, but I think, you know, if we can create some sort of, you know, like I said, nonprofit up here and get some people, you know, under our wing and start organizing, you know, that we can leave this for generations. And hopefully this isn't a problem for generations and generations, but at least we'll have, you know, organized nonprofits in place and, you know, people like Dave at the State House and, you know, people like you, you know, shouting everything out and getting this all done and working together and, you know, trying to solve this problem so it's not an issue in our future.
And I misspoke earlier. You said 48 years, but I think 38 years for Kim Monroe, right?
Yeah, 30. Yeah, I think we're at 38 years in May. Yeah. Yeah.
So no years. Family should have to wait 38 years to find a loved one.
No, you know, I mean,
like we talked about, if other states are doing what we're going to try to do here, that hopefully she's found soon as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be awesome to see this become like a trend where every state starts moving into this. And like we were talking before the podcast, how your connection to this, it was new technology that helped your family. I don't know if you wanted to go into that, but.
Yeah, I'll get into it. I don't talk about it much, but I'll definitely get into it because it kind of, you know, is full circle for me. And, you know, when I was a boy, I lived up here in Maine. My mother lived in Florida. And, you know, when I was 11 years old, my second cousin was, you know, murdered at his house. I was supposed to be with him that night. And my mother said, no, I couldn't go to Blockbuster. I couldn't go to Pizza Hut because I had chores to do the next day. And I was semi-bummed, but not too bad. But, you know, unfortunately, that same night, my second cousin was murdered. Someone was robbing his house. He was coming home from, you know, getting Blockbuster and Pizza Hut. And he ran into the perpetrator and he got shot. And it went unsolved for a long period of time. You know, that was 91 when that happened. And, wow. And they had... There was a bicycle left at the scene. There was a hat left at the scene and they stole, you know, my relative's car. And so there was DNA on the bike and there was DNA on the hat and they ran it, but they didn't get any hits. But, you know, thanks to aggressive state police and civilians down there, they reran everything in 2009 and found out who killed my relative. And, you know, person who killed my relative was killed 2 years prior in a drive-by. But, you know, my family got the peace. They didn't have to go to trial. And, you know, then I came around here and was introduced to a community where, you know, Kim Morrow was pretty prevalent and kind of stuck with me. And, you know, I just want to help. There's a lot of people that want to help. And there's a lot of loopholes and, you know, things in the way that I think we need to weed through, but I think we're going to get there together.
Yeah, it definitely seems like this seems like it's somewhat small, but I think it can be very significant as well. What's happening with this bill?
So Crystal is Nick Cross's mom. He went missing up in the Milo area. It's very discouraging because there's not one single agency that families can depend on. It's one agency waiting on the next one to get everybody together on the same day or the same time. And then a new emergency for one of them happens. Then research, I think she's talking about the search, never takes place. That's exactly what happened to us. And the authorities never did the big search. Always excuses. Nick was located eventually, but he should have been located much sooner. And in fact, Jeff and I had created a search party to go up there and look around. And we couldn't find him either, but he was located.
So Jared, thank you for sharing your story. It's definitely deeply personal. I wonder what the policies are about, you know, when do we retest things? Cause you know, that's a great point. Like, okay, we ran the DNA when this thing happened and this dude or woman wasn't in the system then, but who's to say they don't do something 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. And then get, you know, put in, you know, the DNA then. So that'd be interesting. I doubt there's like a hard and fast policy about it, but there should definitely be money and some discretion to just retest things every, you know, 5 or 10. I don't know, but good to have
LD 839. I don't know. I don't know how that all works. David, you could be the voice of all these victims, right? Like, this could be your platform. This could be like your ivory tower. Like, you could do this.
I appreciate that. I definitely am in a green tower with cannabis, but I'm happy for this for unidentified remains and missing folks to be my, you know, my other signature issue. It's, you know, maybe they go together, maybe they don't, I don't know, but
I told Jeff earlier, I said, so Dave's the Republican, so that's one good point. And then also you funded for cannabis, so you're freaking cool. This is awesome.
All right, yeah. Yeah, cannabis is the underdog too, you know. They fought against, you know, sold things that were legal, beat up by the government and for growing a plant, and you know, that's just another underdog. And Jared, thanks for that's interesting. I think, like, I'm not a big like study guy, like, you know, we need a study, but I could definitely see the value in like a formal like stakeholder kind of group convened by the legislature over like kind of cold cases as a big umbrella or something like that, and then, you know, talking and seeing what's what. So
yeah, I think it's great, and I think you guys can do, you know, from up there and help out is really just going to trickle down in the community. So very thankful for you, Dave Boyer.
Not sure if you're aware of like sort of this community, I guess you might call it, of people for this, the missing people and the cold cases, but it is there is a pretty significant size group of us, you know, trying to do this fight. And I assume you weren't really aware of that, but you're kind of in it now, whether you like it or not. So
thanks for having me. And it seems like a great, compassionate group of people and smart and you know, Yankee ingenuity, getting things done and looking and finding a way. I'm happy to help, and it's an easy cause to push, and you know, it's an obvious one, and I think that's why we found that support, and you know, should have a unanimous vote tomorrow and going forward and getting this thing funded. You know, keep me read in, keep me plugged in on legislative solutions and awareness and issues that come up. And I'm grateful that Jared happens to live in the district that I ran in. And maybe, you know, I like the term that you used earlier, synchronicity. So
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I got
very,
a quick,
very,
ethical,
very good.
Got a quick ethical comment here. What do you guys think of this? Maybe there should be a bank with mandatory DNA.
I don't know about all that.
Oh no, I disagree with that. But
I see what you're getting at. I appreciate the sentiment.
I don't want my DNA all over the place.
I'm just scared to do like 23andMe or Ancestry,
right?
You know, just because they'll hand over to the government. I didn't, you know, murder somebody in Alaska, but someone did and got caught.
Someone did, yes. And they think someone from Maine did actually do that.
They were from Mainers, and that's what, you know.
He's got a beard. He's about 6 foot tall, dark hair.
Likes to wear blue with a salmon color tie.
Exactly. If you guys if any other stuff comes up that you know think might be down up our alley, absolutely let us know. We're more than willing to help in any way we can with this sort of thing. It's really good absolutely. To see.
Yeah, awesome. Thank sure.
you. Thanks for having us.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Good to see you guys. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yes, Jared. Yeah, thanks. Good seeing you. David, nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You guys have a good night.
For 5-year-old Taylor Williams led investigators to Alabama this week.
So we have some breaking news from Florida. An arrest has been made.
Tonight, after years of agony, a glimmer of hope for the family.
Investigators spent hours searching through this house off Pennsylvania Avenue.
What could be a major development in the search for missing Alabama teenager?
Tonight, a stunning twist in the search for Taylor.
Somebody out there knows something.
They want to lay him to rest their way, not by somebody else's way.